Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 14th China Fahui on the Minghui website, entitled, I Rescued My Mom Only After I Cultivated Righteous Thoughts, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China.
China Fahui, I Rescued My Mom Only After I Cultivated Righteous Thoughts, by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. Greetings, Venerable Master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I'm a young female Dafa disciple who began working after I graduated from the university. Since I was a teenager, I've followed in my mother's footsteps to practice Falun Dafa. Even when I was young, I knew that Dafa was good. The practice healed my mother's rheumatoid disease and de-escalated my father's bad temper. The moral standard and moral character of many people were uplifted, and people became kind by practicing Dafa. When I grew up, I understood that Falun Dafa is a very profound practice, something to be cherished. It is so fortunate and a blessing for me to have grown up in a family of Dafa practitioners. For years, my family and Dafa practitioners nationwide in China have suffered severe persecution. Yet we still firmly believe in Dafa and walk on this path steadily. We have all witnessed the miracles and the greatness of Dafa. Solidly cultivating Dafa enabled me to develop a strong and persistent character. Before I cultivated Dafa, I would just cry when I encountered difficulties. I was scared when I did not know how to handle some difficulty. I was impatient, hot-tempered, and wild. But Dafa changed all this, improving my character and strengthening my mind. Through cultivation, my Xinxing elevated. I knew I was different from the other girls, for I maintained high moral standards based on truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. I am very lucky, thanks to Master. Master was beside me. During spring one year, I was returning home from work with some good food I had bought on the way. I was shocked at the mess when I returned home. I looked for my mother. A neighbor came knocking on my door to say, "Child, a group of policemen took your mom from home. They searched your home and confiscated some items. They refused to tell me who they were or where they came from. I immediately called your dad, but he's away on a business trip." I was overwhelmed with anger and disgusted. My younger brother and I, however, had previously experienced a similar incident. We were both young and still in school, so the fear and hopelessness that we felt were unbelievable. All our neighbors knew that Dafa was good. They had seen the deeds and behavior of my parents, and they knew we were always concerned for others. Therefore, they tried their best to protect our family and Dafa. I closed the door after my neighbor left. All the belongings in the dressers, cabinets, and closets had been removed. The photo of Master Li was smashed and scattered across the living room. The bed covers and clothes were on the floor in the bedroom. Everything had been searched through and destroyed, including the drawers and closets. I rushed to look for our Dafa books, but could not find them. My work, computer, printer, CD player, cell phone, and other things in my bedroom were all gone. I did not cry, but cleaned up the mess. I checked the closets carefully and found a small copy of Zhang Falun left in a corner of one cabinet. I picked up the book and put it on a high table. I opened the book to Master's photo and bowed 3 times. I calmly said, "I beg Master to protect my mom and bring her home safely." It was past 8 p.m., but I still decided to look for my mom. I felt lost because we lived in such a big city, and I wondered where I should start looking. I called my siblings and friends to go out with me to look, but none agreed to come. I contacted my friends to help me find out where my mother was, but was unable to find out anything specific that night. The next day, a friend I trusted sent me a text message saying that his classmate, who worked at the police department, told him that my mom was in a detention center and had already been sentenced. I did not panic after I hung up the phone. I thought, fake. It is fake. I firmly believed that my mom was okay. I had strong righteous thoughts. I did not think too much and did not believe the rumor. With help from a fellow practitioner, I went to the police station where my mom was illegally detained. I was very calm and told them, "You are persecuting a good people and doing bad deeds." Most of the officials kept quiet. One said, "We are just carrying out our work. There is nothing else we can do." They allowed me to visit my mother. Her eyes turned red. She said, "My child, go find the DAFA books. DAFA resources should not be lost." I asked her to take it easy and not to be too concerned that I would get them. I thought more about how to retrieve the books that night, yet there was some interference in my mind, and I was too scared and did not want to go to the police station. I felt very upset thinking about how Master's photo and DAFA books had been robbed, but I had to break through myself to retrieve the books. Master's Fa then naturally reassured me. Master said, quote, "When I practiced cultivation in the past, many great masters told me these words, and they said, quote, when it is difficult to endure, you can endure it. When it is impossible to do, you can do it." End quote. John Falun. Quote, "The bigger you find them, the bigger they will become, and the smaller you will become. If you do not care and do not put them on your mind, with the Master and the Fa here, what is there to fear? As long as the Green Mountains remain, there is no fear of having no firewood to burn. Ignore them. Once you give them up, you will find that the tribulations have become smaller and you have become bigger. You will overcome them in one step, and the tribulations will become nothing. It is guaranteed to be this way." End quote. Lecture in Sydney. I cried but told myself that I needed to be strong. That night, I dreamed that Master's photo was not hanging straight in my home. The corner of the frame was broken, but the photo was rotating and shining. I woke up and realized that Master was hinting and encouraging me to retrieve his photo and books. I listened to Master's lecture that morning. A fellow practitioner came over and went with me to the police station. We were firm with righteous thoughts and confidence. The policemen were arriving for their shift when we came. An officer on duty was in the front office. We told him that we needed to talk with his supervisor. He said, "He has not come to work yet. Have a seat and wait for a while." He resumed his work and did not speak to us again. I went inside to another office, but there was no one there. I could see Master's photos and the DAFA books on the floor of that same office. At first, I left, but then I realized that it was not right to leave. Wasn't this an opportunity arranged by Master? So I quickly rushed back to the office. I knew there was a camera above the door behind me, but I had strong righteous thoughts that Master would shield me so that no one could see. I picked up only the largest photo of Master, which fit into my bag perfectly. I calmly went back and sat next to my fellow practitioner. We waited for 2 more hours. The supervisor and his officers finally showed up. They refused to return the photos and the books, though we asked them repeatedly. I regretted that I had been too conservative and too hesitant. Master had given me the opportunity to take the other photos and books during the 2-hour wait. Master granted me such good chances. So why didn't I take back Master's other photos and books? I could have done that, so I was very regretful. I found the biggest frame when I returned home, cleaned it up, framed Master's photo, and put it on the table. I bowed to Master and burned incense. I knew that I was not alone when my mother was arrested, since Master was around me all the time. Thank you, Master. My mom was soon released and back home in the coming days. Only one day. A month later, I noticed there was something uncomfortable in the air when I returned from work one day. Was it a hint? I looked around and could not find my mother. The house was clean, and my mom said she would leave dinner for me. If she was not at home, she would definitely have left a message for me. Where could she have possibly gone? I went to Master's photo. It was getting late, and Mom was still not back, so I was worried. There was something uncomfortable lingering in the air, and it was midnight. I calmed down and kept the Dafa books in a safe place. I left Master's photo out, confident that no one would dare to touch Master's photo. I went to bed worried, angry, depressed, and disgusted of the harassment from the authorities. Hatred arose, and I had no compassion at all. I am a Dafa disciple, I said to myself. I began to feel stronger with a more persistent sense of willpower. I told Master, my dad is not home, and I am the backbone of our family. I have to be strong and brave to face any danger. Tomorrow, I have to find my mom and bring her back home. She is a Fa rectification period Dafa disciple, doing the three things in an open and dignified manner, according to Master's requirements. She is saving people. It is not acceptable for a Dafa disciple to be persecuted. That is not a place for Dafa disciples. May Master strengthen me to help me eliminate all the evil that is trying to destroy Dafa and Dafa disciples. Please help my mom come home safely. Master's Fa came to my mind right then. Quote, if thoughts are righteous, evil will collapse. End quote. What's to Fear from Hong Yin, Volume 2. I kept sending righteous thoughts in my mind to clear the interference. I fell asleep and woke when it was past 3 a.m. I realized that I had been dreaming about my mom coming home, with her hands all twisted up and muttering some sounds. Yet it was so real that I thought it was really happening. The next day, I burned incense, knelt down before Master's photo, and prayed. Master, I do not know where I should look for Mom. Please guide me to find her successfully. Help her come home today. Thank you, Master. The same practitioner came over to help me look for her. We first went to the police station where she had been held before. I asked the officials there for the whereabouts of my mom. They said she was at the police station. I said that I had to take her home with me. You go home first, one of the officials told me. We will give you a message later. Your mother cannot go home now. It is not allowed. I thought, Master makes the decisions. I surely can take my mom home today. I said, I must wait here. My mom is going home today. I asked the guard to let me give my mother some food. He first refused, but later agreed. When I saw her, I suggested she eat something. I told her we would go home soon, and at the same time, I clearly thought that she would be allowed to go home today. I was prepared to go home with her at any moment. The supervisor then showed up with some other officers. They pulled me upstairs and yelled at me, "Who let you in? Come upstairs to answer our charges." I struggled to free myself. I was not scared and did not cooperate with them. I said, "How could you treat me like this? What about human rights? Which law have I broken? Why should I go upstairs with you?" They dragged me upstairs and pushed me into a small room to question me. They formed a circle around me. The supervisor came, pointing at me. "I thought that I should give you a chance," he said. "Then you had an attitude." I said, "What about your attitude? A group of men dragged a young girl here?" He said, "No more chances for you. You go downstairs right now." He then left. I went downstairs and returned to where I had been sitting earlier. The guard who let me take food to my mother was reprimanded by his supervisor. I apologized to him. He was very moved. I remained sitting. I sent righteous thoughts and quietly waited. The supervisor soon returned. He was courteous and polite this time. He said he needed to ask me some questions upstairs. When he was questioning me, I treated him as if he were my friend. I communicated with him instead of treating him as an evil policeman persecuting Dafa disciples. I used this opportunity to tell him that Dafa was being wronged, that Fallen Dafa is an upright cultivation practice, and that Dafa disciples strive to be good people. He initially refused to listen. Later, he kept quiet. He may have felt a kind of positive energy. He became quiet and let me go back downstairs. I just kept waiting. Someone kept going in and out of the cell where my mom was held. I soon became emotional from seeing my mom go through so much. She was my mother, so definitely I had to take care of her. I had to bring her home. From a higher level perspective, she was not only my mom, but also a Dafa disciple who should not be here. No one should dare to persecute her. In other words, I had to rescue this practitioner and take her home. It was not for sentimentality, so I could not be intimidated by such emotions. Today, I must bring my fellow practitioner home. My belief then became more firm, and I felt that my energy field could repel anyone who intended to do me harm. Three people came in from outside. They smiled at me and went by. I thought they could not be smiling at me, but then realized that Master was encouraging me. "Girl, get up," one of the officials told me. "You can take your mom home now." The other practitioner and I happily gathered up my mom and took her home. I greatly appreciate Venerable Master and my fellow practitioners.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.